ते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धर्मज्ञानादिभिः सह कलौ नष्टतृषाम् एष पुराणार्कोऽधुनोदितः ग्रन्थराज श्रीमद्भागवत किम् की जय. दिस् इस् केण्टो 6 चाप्टर् 2 एण्ड् वर् आन् टेक्स्ट् लुक्स् लैक् 5 एण्ड् 6. And this is the narration of Ajamils being delivered by the Vishnu Dutas. So kindly repeat. Yasya anke shiraha adhaya lokaha swapiti nirvrataha swayam dhanamam Veda, where are we? Oh, I'm sorry. Adharmam va na hi veda yatha pashuho saha. Oh, you don't have the next one. Okay. Let's just, we'll chant text 5 together and I'll read the next one after that. Yasyanke shira adhaya. Lokaswapiti nirvrutaha swayam dhanamam adhanamam cha va nahi veda yatha pashuho yasyanke shira adhaya lokaswapiti nirvrutaha swayam dhanamam adhanamam va Nahi veda yatha pashuho yasyanke shira adhaya lokaswapiti nirvrataha swayam dhanamam adhanamam va nahi veda yatha pashuho. Lokaswapiti nirvrataha swayam dhanamam adhanamam va nahi veda yatha pashuho yasyanke shira adhaya lokaswapiti nirvrataha swayam dhanamam adhanamam va Nahi veda yatha pashuho yasyanke shira adhaya lokah swapiti nirvrataha swayam dhanamam adhanamam va nahi veda yatha pashuho yasyanke shira adhaya Lokaswapiti nirvrutaha swayam dhanamam adhanamam va nahi veda yatha pashuho yasyanke shira adhaya lokaswapiti nirvrutaha swayam dhanamam adhanamam va nahi veda yatha pashoho yasyanke shira adhaya Svayam dhanamama dhanamam va nahi veda yatha pashoho. Ladies. Loka svapiti nirvrataha. Svayam dhanamama dhanamam va nahi veda yatha pashoho yasyanke shira adhaya loka swapiti nirvrutaha svayam dhanamam adhanamam va nahi veda yatha pashoho yasya of whom anke on the lap, shira, the head, adhaya, plaything, lokaha, the general mass of people, swapiti, sleep, nirvrataha, in peace, swayam, personally, dharmam, religious principles, or the goal of life, adharmam, irreligious principles, va, or, na, not, he, indeed, veda, no, yatha, exactly like, pashoho, an animal. Now I'm going to read the second verse here, text number 6. Sakatham yarpidatmanam kritamaitramachetanam vishrambhaniyo bhutanam sakrano dogdhum arahati. And here the word for word is sa, such a person, katham, how, nyarpidatmanam, unto the living entity who has fully surrendered, kritamaitram, endowed with good faith and friendship, achetanam, with undeveloped consciousness or foolish, vishrambhaniya, deserving to be the object of faith, putanam, of the living entities, sagrana, who has a soft heart for the good of all people, dogvum, to give pain, arhati, is able. Translation, people in general are not very advanced in knowledge by which to discriminate between religion and irreligion. The innocent, unenlightened citizen is like an ignorant animal sleeping in peace with its head on the lap of its master, faithfully believing in the master's protection. If a leader is actually kind-hearted and deserves to be the object of a living entity's faith, how can he punish or kill a foolish person who has fully surrendered in good faith and friendship? Please repeat. People in general are not very advanced in knowledge by which to discriminate between religion and irreligion. The innocent, unenlightened citizen is like an ignorant animal sleeping in peace with its head on the lap of its master, faithfully believing in the master's protection. If a leader is actually kind-hearted and deserves to be the object of a living entity's faith, how can he punish or kill a foolish person who has fully surrendered in good faith and friendship? Report. The Sanskrit word Vishvastaghata refers to one who breaks faith or causes a breach of trust. The mass of people should always feel security because of the government's protection. Therefore, how regrettable it is for the government itself to cause a breach of trust and put the citizens in difficulty for political reasons. We actually saw during the partition days in India that although Hindus and Muslims were living together peacefully, manipulation by politicians suddenly aroused feelings of hatred between them, and thus the Hindus and Muslims killed one another over politics. This is a sign of Kali Yuga. In this age, animals are kept nicely sheltered, completely confident that their masters will protect them. But unfortunately, as soon as the animals are fat, they are immediately sent for slaughter. Such cruelty is condemned by Vaishnavas like the Vishnudutas. Indeed, the hellish conditions already described await the sinful men responsible for such suffering. One who betrays the confidence of a living entity, who takes shelter of him in good faith, whether that living entity be a human being or an animal, is extremely sinful. Because such betrayals now go unpunished by the government, all of human society is terribly contaminated. The people of this age are therefore described as mandaha sumandamatayo mandabhagya hi upadrutaha. As a consequence of such sinfulness, men are condemned, manda. Their intelligence is unclear, sumandamatayaha. They are unfortunate, mandabhagyaha, and therefore they are always disturbed by many problems, upadrutaha. This is their situation in this life, and after death, they are punished in hellish conditions. Om Ajnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Minitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadama Hyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guroho Sri Utaparagamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalata Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Taptakanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vancha Kalpatrubhishcha Kripasindhupya Evacha Patitanam Pavani Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prahunityanda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Now the word Vishvastaghata, it doesn't actually appear in this verse, but Srila Prabhupada sees fit to bring up this phrase here. It means somebody who breaks faith or causes a breach of trust. And in particular, Srila Prabhupada spends the first half of his purport or so talking about the government responsibility to deserve the trust of the citizens. Every one of us is in a relationship with other living entities, either in terms of master, or, well, Prabhupada puts it in the second canto, controller and controlled, or as controller and controlled, meaning that either we are the controller and the other living entity is the controlled, or we are controlled and the other living entity is the controller. These things are, of course, dictated by ourselves, by dint of our previous activities. It determines everything. It's stated that at the time of birth, one's lifespan, the diseases that he will undergo, the sufferings and the enjoyments that he undergoes, his time of death, everything. It's all preset. That's called prarabdha karma. You can't do anything about it. So sometimes we find in human society there are those who would claim, mostly for political reasons, to eradicate this principle that we are all in relationships of either as controller and controlled. But that's basically an example of what here Prabhupada calls bad faith. One should not trust such persons because they're not informed by the absolute truth as much as they're impelled by their own designs to control other living entities. So a government has a responsibility, or anyone who is in the controller position, because all of us have control other living entities, whether they are humans or less than humans. We all control other living entities, and we have to deserve the trust of those living entities who depend on us, or who rather depend on our control. And similarly, those who are controlling us, they also have the responsibility to deserve our faith. We have to surrender to those who control us. We don't really have an option. You can, if you choose, efface dharma. You can efface it. You can distort or mutilate or, spindle, bend, and fold it, if you choose. But you can never erase it. You cannot do anything about this. It's fixed. As I said, this is called prarabdha karma, and the example is often given. Just like if you get on an airplane, once they shut that big door and spin the little latch there, then you're going to wherever that airplane is going. And you don't really have any say over it, unless you happen to be a hijacker. Then maybe you can entangle yourself further. But this is the general paradigm in worldly existence, in the material existence that we're all situated in. This is reality. This is our daily life, if we would like to take a look at it more scrutinizingly. So here we have the argument. This is all continuing the argument given by the Yamadutas, why they should be able to take Ajamila away. And actually, it would seem, I don't see any reason why they would mention this in these two verses here. It's kind of an aside they're mentioning. If not to underscore the importance of our dharma and following our dharma. So Ajamila, the whole point of this narrative is to show that one can become deviated from his dharma very much, and that's what happened to Ajamila because of various reasons that we'll understand in the coming verses. These verses are pretty much expressing the objections of the Yamadutas. And beginning with the next verse, really the Yamadutas start giving the real substantial arguments that they have as to why they should be able to take away Ajamila. So anyway, let's get back to Srila Prabhupada's purport. He says here that a government, he's particularly focusing on the governmental responsibility to deserve the trust of the citizens that it controls. Those who have lived overseas for some time, and those who have lived in this country for a long time, they know that this country, America, for example, is not what it once was. It used to be that one could put good faith in the U.S. government. That's not really so much the case anymore. Now there's a lot of people who are rather afraid of their government. After all, we are in a position of being controlled. And the government has, over the last 20 years especially, put in place various mechanisms to increase its control over the citizens. For example, I've mentioned this before, we don't produce our own food, personally. We don't do this. We're all dependent on Albertsons, or, if we're a little bit more conscious, we're dependent on the farmer's market or maybe on Whole Foods or some other little bit more sattvic entity. But at any rate, we depend on trucks, because trucks move the food to the supermarket that we buy it from. If there's a problem, if the truckers go on strike, as they do in India, for example, by the way, we could note here, because it's germane, that America is becoming more and more like a third world country every day. I've lived in both places, so I know. America is becoming more and more like India every day, and India is becoming more and more like America every day. It seems to me that India is becoming like America faster than America is becoming like India. But this process is well underway. So we're depending on Albertsons, we're depending on whoever's driving those trucks and whoever's instructing those truck drivers to deliver the goods that we require to sustain our life in this material world. And if there's a problem with the trucks, or if there's a problem with the gasoline that the trucks depend on, then everything shuts down and people riot. And they are afraid, in fact, of these food riots, because we got a taste of what can happen in the United States when you assemble a sufficient, a critical mass of living entities who are under what Devamrita Maharishi has called, mass consensual trance. People who are dependent, attached, addicted to sense gratification, by hook or by crook, they will get what they want. We can say the same thing in Sanskrit language. The Bhagavatam does say it. Nunam pramatta kurute vikarma yad indriya pritaya aprinoti. When one has a bodily misconception of life, when one is cemented psychologically to this psychophysical combination known as the material body, then, and one is through, by dint of false ego, when one is completely convinced that this is me, then whatever the mind-body complex dictates to one, one has to do that. It's as if the words are coming here in the next verse. Vivasha, we have no chance. Vivasha means you're under another's control, at least according to, I think it was Viraragavacharya. Vivasha, paravasha, you're under someone else's control. So we are like that. And this body itself is not actually a conscious living being. The body is dead matter, so who's running it? Well, there are three modes of material nature dictating. Those modes are dictating particularly on an individual basis with reference to one's prarabdha karma, and that show is run by Maya Devi, whose business is to bewilder us and to keep us entangled in material existence, life after life after life, until we decide that there's a better way. It might be better to place our faith in Krishna instead of this hopeless, useless, endless process of attempting sense gratification within the three worlds. There are a couple of things that we do. Number one, we try to exploit either Krishna or his property in this material world. If we try to exploit Krishna directly, then we're called sahajyas. And if we try to exploit Krishna's property indirectly, then we're called karmis, or more often than not, we're called vikarmis, because people are not so pious anymore. That's also described later on in this purport. And if we get sick of that process, because everyone does eventually, then the other option is to try to evade Krishna. We try to escape from either from Krishna directly, which we've already done by coming into this world, or we escape from Krishna's representatives, and that can get pretty indirect as well. The Vaishnavas are there, or even more indirect than that. There's other scriptures that are meant to regulate human beings. If we're non-devotees, then at least we want to be human beings and follow, say, Manusmriti and other... There are some 20 or so Dharma Shastras that Prabhupada is going to discuss later on in the purports of this chapter. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has also discussed them. So the chief way that we escape from Krishna is through cultivating jnana, knowledge. So jnana is really, sometimes people value jnana and they think that somebody who has a lot of jnana is necessarily spiritually advanced, but it's not so. In fact, jnana is just as destructive as karma is. I would say jnana is even more destructive than karma because it's like a serpent with a jewel on the hood. And jnana is more powerful than knowledge. What was it? Francis Bacon, I think he said. Somebody can correct me if they know. Knowledge is power. For those who are... Politics is based on the psychology of one who has a higher estimation of power relationships than he does of loving relationships, reciprocal emotional exchanges. So we're talking particularly about politics here. So knowledge is power, and therefore someone who, especially if he sees through the sham of gross and subtle sense gratifications in this material world, he may therefore cultivate knowledge. And when he does, he gets lost in that morass. And it goes on for countless lives, but it cannot liberate one eternally. Eventually, one has to come back down and try and do something, because jnana is necessarily hypothetical. By its very intrinsically, jnana is by nature hypothetical. It cannot possibly be practical. As soon as it's practical, then it becomes either karma or bhakti. So when we're guided by divya jnana, then that is bhakti, and that's why we pray Dibya Gyan Hriday Prakashita to our spiritual master. That's why Krishna says, for example, in Bhagavad Gita, Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yoveti Tattvataha. We have to understand Krishna in truth. And the only way we can understand Krishna in truth, those who have studied chapter 18 in Bhagavad Gita know, is to serve him through bhakti. And Krishna says, through this bhakti, then you can understand me. You can have transcendental jnana, and you can understand that my karma is transcendental. And therefore, your karma also becomes transcendental when you join me on that platform of yoga maya. That's called daivim prakritim ashritaha. Bhajanti ananya manaso. Then one worships Krishna without any distractions. So within the realm of karma that most of us are unfortunately locked into, we are misidentifying with this material body, and we're prepared to commit all sorts of dubious activities, not only to ourselves, well, first and foremost to ourselves, because self-deception is the mother of all other deceit, but also to other living beings. And that's where the this is in Second Canto, Chapter 10, when Srila Prabhupada is discussing those verses that describe adhyatmic, adhidaivic, and adhipotic relationships in this material world. These three principles, they govern all living beings, according to that passage of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And in fact, some Vaishnava acharyas, Vallabha acharya in particular, he's based his entire system of his whole philosophical system, Shuddhadvaita Vaishnava philosophy, on the importance of these three levels of existence. Adhyatmic existence, that is to say, subtle existence, even spiritual existence, we might say. As the Germans use the word Geist, you know, to use not only subtle but metaphysical as well as spiritual. And then we have Adhidaivik, that's fate. And we have Adiputa platform, that's physical existence. So it's a very, very complicated place, this material world. Krishna compares it to a banyan tree, like in Kolkata, and they have in the botanical gardens in Kolkata, South Kolkata, they have this banyan tree that's a mile wide, and you can hardly find which is the original trunk. So Krishna says, with a sword of knowledge, jnanasi, you have to just slash your way out, and there's no way to disentangle it. This is the foolishness or the hopelessness. This is the folly, if you will, of the karma system. People are thinking that through dharma, that is to say through judicious action, I'm going to elevate myself and eventually come to knowledge, and then by cultivating knowledge, bahunam janmanamante, what happens? Jnanavan mam prabhadyate, Krishna says. One surrenders to Krishna. That is the general paradigm, and maybe it works in another age, but I don't think in this age it's going to fly. So for us, because Prabhupada is emphasizing here at the end of the purport, The people of this age are therefore described as mandasu manda matayo manda bhagya yupadruta. That is to say, we're slow, we're especially dim-witted, we have meager pious credits to our names, and upadruta, we're always agitated. As a result of such sinfulness, men are condemned. He says, their intelligence is unclear, they're unfortunate, and they're always disturbed by many problems, like bed bugs, for example. This is their situation in this life, and after death, they're punished in hellish conditions. So, this is a real mess, and we have been so fortunate that although this human life is very short, we have been awakened, at least to some degree we've been awakened, by the divine grace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the form of Srila Prabhupada and these transcendental purports. And armed with the knowledge in this Bhagavatam, and particularly with this passage of the Bhagavatam, this Ajamila Katha, it's so powerful. I was reading the commentaries on these verses the other day. I think it was Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was pointing out how potent this particular narration is. Because it's dealing with something, well, actually, it's dealing with something that is very relevant even in the modern world. People are very, this idea of NDEs, anybody know what an NDE is? Near-death experience. People are very much impressed with this idea, and a lot of people have near-death experiences. That's exactly what happened to Ajamil. It's described that he wasn't sure after this whole thing transpired. He wasn't sure if he actually saw this, if it really happened or not, or if he was dreaming. But he had this lucid experience that these people are coming to him and telling him all this stuff, that's subtle stuff that's happening behind the scenes of his life. And because he got a picture, he got some insight somehow or other by the association of these Vishnu Dutas into what was actually happening and what he had actually done to himself through carelessness. Really, it was a life-changing experience. It was like last night when we were talking about life-changing experiences. So when a person gets the book of Srila Prabhupada, it's like that. It is as if coming into the association of these Vishnu Dutas. Just by reading this particular passage, the same effect is there. Prabhupada says elsewhere sometimes, even the casual onlooker who happens to experience this exchange of Krishna Katha or bhakti, the presentation of bhakti to a conditioned soul, that person also becomes impressed. Even if he reads one line, it can change everything. So we have this Second Chance book. It's been summarized, this the same Ajamil, Ajamil Akhyan, narrative of Ajamil from the sixth canto here. Very, very helpful for other living beings. For ourselves also, we have to, first of all, read these books, as Nirantara Prabhu pointed out last night, and we have to share them, because we have this particular dharma. Now, one of the major themes that make this whole narration significant is that there's a conflict here. The Yamadutas are pushing their understanding of dharma, which is basically Trigunya. Trigunya dharma means according to the three modes of material nature, according to the injunctions of the Vedas. Ordinary dharma, as I mentioned. You elevate yourself through pious activities. That piety will qualify you to cultivate knowledge. And hopefully, this is a big capital H, hopefully, if you can actually keep your nose clean through that long, laborious process, then you can actually be non-envious enough at the end that you will surrender to Krishna when your knowledge matures. But that can take many, many lifetimes, and we don't have time in this age. So the quick method is the Sankirtana, chanting the holy names of Krishna. That's another one of the major themes here. So the Yamadutis, they're snagged on their Trigunya understanding. They're thinking about ordinary dharma, whereas the Vishnu Dutas are pushing this transcendental process, this express lane process, so to speak, of Bhagavata Dharma, wherein, just by chanting once, we're going to find out in the next few days here, just by chanting once, even if a person has committed thousands of sinful activities. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says thousands of mahapapas. That is to say, the greatest sinful activities, what the Catholics might call cardinal sins. Even if a person has done thousands of those and only chants the holy name once, that chanting is sufficient to wipe out all that sinful activity. It's even said that if a person chants, as Ajamil did, not necessarily offensively, that is to say, not with knowledge of his sinful activities, not with the intention, I should say, of counteracting his sins, but if a person out of ignorance is sinful and happens to chant the holy names of Krishna, then that person can wipe out not only all of his past sins, not only all of his present sins, but even his future sins, just by once chanting. This we say on the authority of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who has, by the way, written some extensive notes that are placed at the end of this chapter. They actually constitute his commentary on texts 9 and 10, where he gets specific, because after all, the devil is in the details, right? So some specific details of the sins that Ajamil had performed, they're mentioned in texts 9 and 10. And if you want Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's take on those verses, there is no purport to those. So the person who gives class in a couple of days will probably skip over them. But you can go to the end of the chapter and see what he says. So he said that even your future sins, why is that? Because Narayan considers this person has called my name. Therefore, he's my ward, as Prabhupada says. I have responsibility to take care of him. Vishnu doesn't fail in his dharma, like we do. His promise is, anybody know the verse? Yadami etad vratam mama? Sakradeva prapannaya tavasmiti chiyachate. Abhayam sarvabhute bhyo dadami etad vratam mama. Lord Ramchandra said this. This is in Ramayana. If somebody just once surrenders unto me and says, I'm yours, then I award that person fearlessness for all time. This is my firm vow, Ramchandra promises. So similarly, Lord Narayana thinks that if this person has called my name, then he's mine now. Every one of us, somehow or other, we chanted Krishna's name, not in an offensive way, but maybe in an ignorant way. I know I did when I first heard of Hare Krishna. I decided to start chanting for godly knows what reason. I don't know. But it had effect. And in the next verse, I'll end now. In the next verse, the Goswamis, the Acharyas, have also described that Ajamil was actually chanting the name of Narayana throughout his whole life. And because he did have some piety way back when, before his fall down, that piety combined with his regular chanting of the name of Narayana in a non-offensive yet ignorant way, that is what helped him when he came back for his second chance. After his near-death experience, so to speak, then he was awakened to his spiritual identity and the importance of the short amount of time that we have as human beings. We shouldn't take this for granted, that we have a sound mind that works, that we have senses, eyes that can see and ears that can hear, and that we can walk. These things are not granted, and they're not forever. You are going to lose them. Every single one in this room is going to lose his sense of sight, his ear, his hearing, his or her sense of mobility, the ability to eat, the ability to formulate thoughts coherently. It's going to go. Either it's going to gradually dissipate as our synapses begin to misfire with the natural process of Maya known as old age, or we're going to be very violently taken out of the body that we're in, with warning or not. But every one of us is going to give up the facility that we currently enjoy. So let's not misuse it. Ajamila had this chance, second chance, as we say. Parikshit Maharaj also had such a chance. He knew he had at least 7 days. We don't know that. Some of us may not come home tonight. We just don't know. So I actually didn't prepare for these verses. I prepared for text 7. I was in illusion. So I've strayed a little bit maybe from the principle of deserving the faith that people put in us, or the leaders deserving the faith that is expected from us. But this is the idea. We all have some dharma to perform, and we must perform it. Otherwise, we cannot sustain our relationship of controller of others without incurring sinful activity. Now, just as a last note before we end, because it's getting late, I know. Srila Prabhupada was talking about one impersonalist mission that's very famous, particularly in Bengal. And they preach this idea that any path you take, it's all the same, it doesn't matter. I think most of you know who I'm talking about. And at the time of the Gaudiya Mutt, that impersonalist mission in Bengal was practically squelched because of the fiery zeal of the Gaudiya Mutt preachers under the direct auspices of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and his authoritative guidance and preaching. After his disappearance, when the Gaudiya Mutt split into pieces and there was political, this politics entered in and contaminated everything, and people deviated and the Gaudiya Mutt split apart and the preaching stopped. At that time, this impersonalist mission came to enjoy the extreme predominance that it has today. And Prabhupada said on at least one occasion that he blamed his god brothers for that happening, because they had a mandate from their spiritual master to cooperate and preach Krishna consciousness, and they blew it. And so Prabhupada said they get the reaction for the spread of this impersonalist mission. So that's something we can think about also. Srila Prabhupada, we heard the other day in a lecture, he was saying, I'm an old man, I'm going to go, now this thing is left with you. What are you going to do with it? We all have this responsibility, an awesome responsibility that none of us is actually qualified for, but if we humbly bow down and beg for divine grace, then we can be empowered. So let us do that. I'll stop here. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Archita Prabhu, you had a comment or a question?
Hare Bhagavan Prabhu, thank you, nice class. Just a little correction, that it's actually the Vishnu Dutas that are speaking at this point. The Yamadutas okay. Already laid out their arguments, yeah. And today's argument is pretty simple from the Vishnu Dutas, that just like an animal when they surrender, you know, those who have animals, you know, almost every day they do something offensive. But because they're surrendered to you in this master, you know, servant relationship, then you forgive them. Yeah. So similarly, Ajamil, even though he did so many weird things, you know, because he's in a surrendered relationship at this point, having innocently called out to Narayan, then he's to be forgiven, and the Yamadutas don't have any jurisdiction anymore.
Yeah, thank you. And the next, beginning with this verse 7 now, the real gist of their argument comes. It's very, very interesting. One more, Shachitanai Prabhu. Prabhupada is talking about dharma and adharma.
So, therefore, the government that we have now, it's not knowing what real religion is, and the people who elect them also, they don't know, so it appears that the people needs to be educated. Even if you have a good government, like Yudhishthira Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj, it will be thrown out. A God-conscious God at this particular point will be thrown out of post. Is that principle also applied? It appears that that principle does not apply in spirituality. You cannot elect your leaders, isn't it?
I'm not sure my question is,
my question is, when you have a leader in the government, because he's talking about the government, you elect the government. The people are responsible for having a government like that. Huh. They're not educated, therefore, whatever government comes, they just have to take it. Varnas Ramdharma is not established yet. Yeah. So therefore they don't know. Spiritually speaking, if you have a leader, it just needs to be there.
Yeah, it's much easier. People in democracies, they spend their whole life just trying to figure out what their dharma is, and often they make mistakes. And they can't go anywhere, and therefore they elect the wrong person who cheats them, and then they complain about it. And Prabhupada said, this is foolishness. You elected this person, it's your fault. Whereas in Krishna conscious leadership, the person is actually qualified because he's humble. He surrenders to authority himself, therefore he's divinely guided, and he has the right advice to give. That's the ideal, at least. So, is that okay?
It's like the next step. We as a preaching movement, to help human society, we have to help Varnas Ramdharma to be established, isn't it?
It would seem that way to me, based on what Srila Prabhupada said in his ending, in the last days of his life. He seemed to feel that for this preaching mission to really be successful and to continue as smoothly as he intended it to do, that that's necessary. And it's my observation has been, for what my vision is worth, that whatever problems we've had in our society since Prabhupada's departure, most of them are social in nature, socio-political, and the entity that Prabhupada has given us to govern those kinds of problems is Varnashram Dharma. So it seems that way. That's one aspect of it only. There are many others to consider, but we're running out of time. Okay? All glories to Srila Prabhupada.